So I'm talking about community today. Community is one of my passions. It's one of my main roles here. And it is at the core of everything we do as a church. It's one of our three circles that are part of the logo. It's one of the five directives that we have. It is something we hope everyone gets to experience as part of our church. But community is one of those things that's simple on the surface, and it's an easy concept to understand, but it's kind of difficult to achieve. It takes a lot of time and energy, and it's a process of building relationships. And so there's a lot of facets to it. So today, my plan is to share a few reflections from my experiences with community over the years, and then also offer some practical suggestions for those of us in Imago that are wanting to take steps forward and be more involved in our community. So kind of a twofold message today. But first, I'd like your feedback. Here are some questions on the screen. We have plenty of time for discussion, so here are some questions for us to discuss. How would you define community? Where have you experienced it? And what aspects of community do you value most? You don't have to, you can just pick one of the questions to answer, but there's some food for thought. Thoughts? I usually run short, so we have plenty of time. A lot of facets about community. So, yeah, definitely. People you can depend on, and they can depend on you. I like that. Without hesitation. Good. Yeah. Other thoughts? Yeah, Mandy. That's awesome. And each drinks in orthodoxy. Yeah, we definitely have several pockets of community and different spheres you can experience community around our church. Anyone want to take a stab at defining what they think of when they think of community? Yeah, Seth. I love that. Yeah. Yeah, thank you for saying all that. That it's a process, and so living in close proximity really helps to add to that. Yeah. That's true. I think in the directives it says under community that we believe that spiritual formation happens in the context of intentional relationships. So I think that really connects with what you're saying, Seth. Anybody else want to chip in? Yeah, I think that's an awesome insight that even most of us in this church, different backgrounds, different ages, different ethnicities, different socioeconomic status, we're still all bonded and in common with pursuing Jesus, trying to do our best. So we definitely find community in that. Anybody else? Yeah, so Eric's pointing out there's different levels of depth of community. That in a way, we're all part of the Peoria community. But then you've got, you know, different levels of depth and intimacy, and probably the truest, the deepest community is that smaller group. You want to have community at all levels and sizes, but be able to hone in and have that really intimate group too. Yeah. So I like Ty's insight that it's the community is dynamic. And because it's a relation, it's a relational term, it adjusts. And so having different communities in different life stages or the community you have adapting, you definitely see that. And so sometimes certain periods have their own theme or, you know, their own community, and then that, you know, it changes and maybe you lose touch and you have to start anew. I think that's a great point. Yeah, there's ebb and flow, and there's some give and take. And in different seasons, we need to give more, and then some seasons we need to be the recipients more of that support. Cool. Well, thank you guys for all those thoughts. Community is so multifaceted that I wanted to leave enough time for us to share, because obviously I'm going to hone in on a few things, but I mean, it's such a broad topic. So thank you guys. So in my experiences with community, I've learned a few important lessons. I'm going to share some of those. The first one being the importance of being known deeply. Each of us has layers to who we are, our personality, our history, our hopes, our hurts, our convictions and our passions, things that give us life, things that we live for. And you don't get to know those things immediately, but it's a layer. Some people like compared it to an onion, that you peel the layers slowly. But I think it's important for us to be known at a really deep level. And as we let other people in, as we show them who we really are, and we begin to trust them, we become more transparent. And I think only after that point that they can give us the true gift of acceptance. Because if we kind of put barriers up and we kind of, you know, give a facade about who we are, and which is natural in the early stages of a relationship, then that person doesn't fully know who you are. And if they don't fully know who you are, then they can't fully appreciate who you are, or they can't fully accept you. So I think I learned this lesson the first time outside of family when I was in high school. I had a couple best friends, Kyle and Caleb, which you might hear me talk about if you're around me enough. One of them lives in Denver, and one of them lives in Dallas, so we're not as close as we used to be. I think what Ty pointed out, there's different seasons. So I was with them very strong for a decade or more. And now, you know, we're separated by distance, but it's easy to pick up in a conversation with them. But something I found with them was that when we were in high school, really coming to terms with who I was, both as a person, as a Christ follower, like, I feel like high school is a pivotal time in really discovering your identity as a person. And Caleb and Kyle walked me through that. They were with me through ups and downs, through discouraging times, through awesome times. We'd have a lot of fun together. We'd play chess together. We played with fireworks together. They knew my strengths and my weaknesses and my quirks, and they liked me. And it meant so much to me that they knew me so well, more than anyone in my life, that I could be my complete self, didn't have to put up any walls. I could just say what was on my mind, that I could tell secrets to and know that they're not going to judge me. The fact that they knew all of those nuances of who I was and still liked me meant the world to me. And I think that's part of why it's important to be known deeply. Timothy Keller said this: to be loved but not known is comforting, but superficial. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. But to be fully known and truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God. It is what we need more than anything. It liberates us from pretense, humbles us out of our self-righteousness, and fortifies us for any difficulty life can throw at us. I think we all need those people in our lives to know us deeply, who can survive our ups and downs, and who we can share our greatest fears with and our deepest secrets without fear that they're going to judge us. That they know us fully and they accept us fully. And that, I cherish that when I have that in somebody. So I think that's something that I've come to really cherish. Secondly, I've learned the importance of having a network of support. This week's crisis was small in the grand scheme of things, not the most difficult thing in the world to lose a car, definitely inconvenient, but it was so much better by the support that we had, the people coming around us and saying, hey, we're with you. If you need something, if you need a ride, if you, like, someone offered to sell their car, so many people offered to let us borrow their car, and I'm borrowing the Indris' car this week. So it made it so much better to have that network of support. Another thing that comes to mind was, there's a particular day in college that was a rough day. I was a small group leader at Milliken for our Christian fellowship group on campus in Decatur. So it was InterVarsity, and I was a small group leader, and I had applied for this leadership role to oversee all the small groups the following year. And I didn't get the role, and I found this out. And that wasn't that big of a deal, but when I found out why I didn't get the role, it really hurt me. It was because someone had been spreading rumors about me. I don't know why, But for whatever reason, the leaders believed those rumors and didn't pick me for the position. So I felt really rejected and hurt. And I felt like it was one of the first times that I can remember that I felt like my people rejected me. Like here were Christians that I saw every week that I, you know, some of them went on the team that I was. And I felt like they knew me. But then they, for some reason, believed those rumors and rejected me. And that day, I remember having a newfound appreciation for my group of friends. Because my group of friends knew what I was going through and comforted me and stood by me that day. And there was one of them that even stood up for me and said, "You know that's not Dustin. That's not who he is. And I know that for a fact, that that's a rumor, and you should know that too." And so they stood up for me. And so I think we all need those kinds of people to stand with us, to weather the storms and the ups and downs of life. Because life can be hard, and we need those people that have our back, that can pray for us and encourage us. As Duane read in 1 Corinthians, it says, "If one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it." The way that you all supported me this week, I hope that we can be like that. That we are the body of Christ, that we are each an integral part. And we're here together, I think, for a reason. And so I think to support each other, to lean on each other, and in different seasons, I'm the shoulder to lean on, and then in other seasons, you're the shoulder to lean on. And so I think that we really need to keep that in mind, that the importance of having that network of support, and to keep in mind that relationships are a process, and it takes time to develop that network. But what might start out as a young friendship, a sapling of a relationship, if you will, can grow into a giant oak tree that's strong and sturdy that you can lean on and will weather any storm. Thirdly, I've learned the importance of living out mission within community. This is one reason why I love our logo. The circles are all interconnected and they overlap. And as a reminder, the three circles are community, mission, and spiritual practices. And so we believe that just having mission separate over here and community separate over here, like there's your fellowship, that's where you serve, and over here is where you learn and grow. That is a way you can do it, but it's best when they're all happening at the same time, when two or three of those are happening. And so when all of those are firing on all cylinders, that's when real transformation happens. So you see this when missions teams will go, and they'll go and they'll serve somewhere, and they will come back with such a tight bond because they took community and put it into action. And they lived out mission within that community. Or so many friendships, I think, have been started by our Breakfast Club team and by serving together and pouring out together. I think there's a unique bond that happens. So that same group of friends that supported me, that was my network of support, I went to Tulsa in 2004, and then a year later, they followed me to Tulsa. Most of them went to grad school, and one of them just got a part-time job. But we had something really good. Like, we were a tight-knit community. And so we all wanted to stay together. So when I left for Tulsa, then Christina we were dating at the time, so she's like, "Well, I'm going." And then everyone else was like, "Well, if Christina and Dustin are going, then we're going." And so there was this group of eight of us, all from Illinois. People called us the Milliganites, which I thought was funny. But we were like a tight-knit community, really close. A lot of us were cheap, and so we picked this cheapest apartment complex close to campus, and a lot of us were full-time students, and so we just hung out like four or five times a week, playing cards, watching movies, just hanging out. But something happened where we realized like we had really great community, but it was all inwardly focused. We were keeping that gift, that closeness, that intimacy all to ourselves. We weren't doing anything with it. And then on top of that, we had so many privileges. A lot of us came from middle-class families. We all came from unbroken homes. All of our parents were still together. which is not very common these days. We were all getting degrees, college degrees, and had these dreams. We had a lot of things going for us, but yet we were so inwardly focused and selfish. So one day we opened our eyes and realized, like, we were kind of getting restless, and it was feeling stale because we were keeping this gift of community that we had to ourselves. And we're like, here we are surrounded by people who are struggling financially, a very impoverished apartment complex, a lot of one-parent homes or homes with a grandparent and several kids or latchkey kids that their parent worked at home and they were just walking around. They would just wander all day. And so we ended up doing this thing which we called hands and feet. And we just found ways to just give to our neighbors. And we started out with all these grand ideas, like eight things, like we're going to tutor people, we're going to help people fill out job applications, we're going to play games with kids, we're going to help people, like give people rides to places and help people get groceries if they can't afford it. And a lot of people didn't have cars. They would just go to Walmart, which was right behind the complex, and just park the Walmart cart right at their doorstep. So there were all these shopping carts around, which was funny. So we started out with all these things, and for 3 years, we just did whatever we could, and it was invigorating. We genuinely lived out mission together, and there wasn't a church. It was just our group of friends. We raised money, and it was awesome. We became even closer through it. The thing that stood the longest was just doing activities for kids after school. We did that one or two times a week for 3 years straight, and it was awesome. But I think we learned that when you have community, share it with others. That use that as a platform to then live out mission. I think there are different spheres in our lives where we're going to find community, whether it be through work or through our neighborhoods or through hobbies. But I really hope that each of us finds community here in this room. That this would be one of the main spheres, because I think there's a lot of opportunity for us as a body to take that gift of community and pass it on. Live our lives on purpose for the sake of others. And I think that's going to bring us even closer together. So I'm excited as we find community and we find more ways to live out mission as a body. Lastly, I learned the importance of journeying through life together. I've been through many seasons in life, different types of things, and many of you have gone through many more seasons than I have. And what I found out is that no matter what this season is like, it's better with others. Doesn't matter if it's a really easy season, or if it's a season of growth, or it's a really challenging season, or if it's a season of a lot of doubts and questions, or a season of decisions or transition. Having those people with you makes all the difference sometimes. I think sometimes the people around us just give us a different perspective, something that we don't think about. I love that here at Imago we see strengths. We see our differences as strengths and not as barriers, because I think we need that diversity. So sometimes you need a different perspective. Sometimes you need people to correct you and help you go down the right path. To give you feedback on, hey, am I doing this right? And then sometimes you just don't want to be alone. I think sometimes it's just better to live life with others. I think that's a gift that God has given us. So I just want to say that I am honored to be on a journey with you all. It's only been 6-7 months since Christine and I have been here, but I feel like we've already made a lot of headway in seeing the beauty of this community and the depth of people, the quality of people that are here. And so I'm excited to be even more integrated, more a part of this community, and help other people find that and get involved, get plugged in with our community, because I think we got a lot of good things going for us. I think we really, really value community, and the fact that our church was founded on a small group probably adds to that. That intimacy and transparency were at our genesis. So some of you may have just started journeying with us. So for those of you, I want to say welcome. I'm glad that you're here. And some of you have been on the journey since the beginning. So to those of you that have been here from the beginning, thank you for paving the way for all the rest of us. I mentioned earlier that I wanted to share a few practical suggestions on how to be more involved with the Imago community. So first, those of you who are newer, I know sometimes it's hard to know what steps to take, and you sometimes, when you first come, you feel like an outsider, and you feel like there's good things happening, but I don't know how to get plugged in. I don't know what steps to take. So along those lines, we've taken, I think, a step in the right direction, making these cards, which are in the pews in front of you, if the people from First Service didn't take them all. So there's among other things, there's a welcome card and there's a get involved card. So take these, especially if you're new, read through them, take them home, check them out. We won't read through it today, but I just wanted to point it out, kind of what they, we've just had them for a few weeks. So it defines how we do church, kind of our style of communion, how to get your kids involved with Genesis, the fact that we don't pass an offering plate, we have offering boxes in the back, and the fact that we do the discussion, the Q&A that we did earlier, which is unique. Not a lot of churches do that. So kind of the welcome card introduces people who are brand new, just as a crash course to Imago. And then secondly, there's a get involved card. If you feel like, hey, this is your home and you want to take a step of involvement, and it kind of gives you a few ideas. We couldn't fit every idea on here, so I kind of had to be selective as to what I put on here, but it gives you some ideas of ways you can get involved, different assets, facets, and aspects of our community. And my contact info is at the bottom. So call me, email me with any questions. I am here to help, especially in the area of community. That's what I love to do. It's my passion, and so that's why I'm here. Also, I put together a list of 5 ideas of ways to get involved if you are newer. First of all, it's not rocket science. Attend consistently. Get to see some familiar faces, get to meet more people, talk with people before and after service, and get a feel for who we are. Secondly, be part of Imago Story. That's one of our Sunday school classes, which you can find more about in the notes or on our website. So we meet in Charlie's office. We just started today at 10. So some of you were able to join us. But if that's still open, so come next week at 10 o'clock. If you are newer, it's basically just a class on our history as a church and why we do some of the things we do, kind of our values. And so if you are new and you've never been part of Imago Story, I invite you to be part of that. Also, check out the notes every week. That'll kind of give you a survey of what's happening, and you can kind of keep up to date. If there is something in the notes, I want you to know you are invited. This is your invitation. So sometimes whenever you feel like you're new, you're like, I don't know what the protocol is, if I'm supposed to go to something, or if that's for a certain group. If it's in the notes, it's for everybody. So one of those things is the Sunday school classes, which started this week. So that's a great time to start getting involved with those. Check that out. There's 3 going on. And then also Thursday mornings from 9 to 11, there's a women's group that's starting this week. So this Thursday, they're going to go through a Beth Moore book. And so if you've never been part of that and that fits in your schedule, that'd be a great way to be involved. So the notes are a great tool. Also, you can email me, introduce yourself to Charlie or another staff member, so we can put a name to her face. We want to know your story and a little bit more about you. And so it's a big church, and I was new 6 months ago, so I'm still meeting people that have been here longer than me. So it's, I don't always know if you're new or not. So come introduce yourself to me. And then lastly, probably one of the best ways is to serve on a volunteer team. We have 5 to 10 volunteer teams that make Sundays possible, and they're always looking for new people. And so I think that's a great way to feel like you're contributing, but it's also a great way to meet people. So just some thoughts. Then there might be some of you that you've done all those things on the list, and you've been around for a while, but lately you've been feeling like you'd like to take another step forward. You'd like to be involved at a little deeper level, and so I have some ideas for you as well. So here's five ways to be involved at a deeper level. One, you could start a small group. Maybe you've experienced the goodness of our community, and you want to help other people experience that. I love small groups. I'm a big fan. And we don't have like a sign-up sheet type strategy with small groups. It's more organic. But I'm always interested in new groups starting. And so if you're interested in starting a new group, talk with me. I try to keep tabs on all the groups that are going on and who the different pockets of community. And so whether it's giving you resources or helping you connect with people who might be looking for a group, or just talking through, like, what are some of the first few meetings like? Like, what should a small group do? They range in, some small groups are very biblically driven and they'll go through Ephesians, and then other groups, they'll just take a book and go through it, or some people watch a video series, or some groups, they just are centered mostly around like having fun and having real conversations. Then there's other groups that are, there's one group, the Justice League, that's focused around social justice issues, and so there's several Imagoans that have started that, and that's just focused on what can we do to end modern day slavery, and so it's more of a an issue based group. So if you're interested in that, talk with me, or you could take on more of a leadership role with your team. If you're already involved with the volunteer team, say, hey, how can I help do a bigger role? There's also going to be an opportunity this year to go on a trip to Honduras. If you've never been, that could be a great opportunity to dig in and to serve in a unique capacity and be on a team with other people from around the church. Or you could start something new. Maybe if you're feeling I need to do something else. Maybe you're supposed to start something new. I actually have an idea. I know Charlie talked about we need to start a community garden, so that's one thing that's kind of in the works. But I have another thing that maybe could be in the works. Christine and I talked about this a lot this week. We do a good job of when babies are born, of bringing those parents meals and kind of putting together a care calendar and a little schedule to bring meals to people. But I think we could do better. I think so far it's kind of like someone has a baby and then that person's friend sets up a schedule and they Facebook or email some people they know, but it's kind of limited to that circle of friends, only people that they know. And so I think it would be really awesome if just people from our church would bring meals to people they don't even know, that we would just overwhelm people with meals and support in a trying time. When, if you have a new baby or if you're in a tough time, you can't, it's more when you need to be on the receiving end of community. And so I think that would be an awesome opportunity for us to have more an organized fashion of extending our community to people who need it most. And maybe that includes people who had a death in the family, or people who are in the hospital, or maybe someone just moved here. I think it would be awesome if we could have a team of people that focuses on that and puts energy into that. So if you are interested in being part of that team, then let me know. And I'm also looking for someone to kind of oversee that. I'll obviously help coordinate from a staff perspective, but I would love to see something like that take place. So that's just an idea. Let it simmer with you. And if you're interested, please see me after service or shoot me an email. And then finally, you could help organize a connecting event. If you see something in the notes and you're like, I love that and I want to help with that, then just say, hey, how could I help with that? You know, I'm here to lend a hand if you need me. So those are just some thoughts. And again, if you're interested in any of those things I mentioned, or if you have questions, I'm here to help. My number is on that sheet. My email, you can get through the website. Please contact me. So I thought we'd end today's service with a moment of silence, just to reflect on our community, to cherish the good things we have, to remember the people in our lives that we really value. So I'm going to put some questions up on the screen, and we'll just take a few minutes and have some silence, and then I'll close with prayer.